Gentlemen, start your engines.
Here's Tony Metapol.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
The only thing we have to fear is fear itself.
I'm not a crook.
If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, fire.
You're listening to Jim Paris Live, your source for the latest news on money, politics, prophecy, and preparedness. And now your host, the editor-in-chief of ChristianMoney.com and the author of more than 30 books, Jim Paris.
All right, hello everybody. Welcome to the broadcast. Jim Paris here with you. And again, we were off for what, maybe 2 or 3 weeks, and a lot of things going on. But it looks like my schedule has pretty much cleared up as far as the traveling, the special projects, and that sort of thing. So I will be able to be here much more regularly than I have been. So just trust me in that. I know a lot of you have been frustrated that I haven't been dropping a brand new episode every week. And the last 2 or 3 weeks were kind of crazy. One of my cousins asked me to go to Oklahoma City. She flew me to Oklahoma City to drive a truck from there all the way back here to Fort Pierce, Florida. So that was kind of fun. I got to know her a little bit better. I got to spend a couple of days in Oklahoma City and got to do some interesting things there and some fun things. One of the really interesting things was to make a second visit to the Oklahoma City Memorial, which is such a beautiful place. And I could stay there for hours just thinking about all of the lives that were destroyed. And, you know, it's not just those that passed, because we got to think about the families that are left behind also. And then all in a strange way, I felt a little bit of, I don't want to say sympathy, but looking at Timothy McVeigh, who, you know, I just didn't remember at the time how young of a man that he really was. And looking at the picture of him, and of course, now he has met his final judgment. He got the death penalty and has been gone for a number of years from this earth. But just thinking about, wow, you know what? I mean, such a tragedy on so many levels. All the lives that were lost, all the families that are affected. I mean, it's probably tens of thousands of people that were affected by this. And then, you know, even those that were involved in how they hurt their own families and left behind such a dark legacy. But the Oklahoma City Memorial, just something to see that will absolutely change your life if you're ever in Oklahoma City. It was also just a really interesting Midwestern city. I had a great time. I visited an area called the Brickyard, which is where they have a minor league baseball team, and they have tons of restaurants, and it's one of the most beautiful baseball parks I have ever seen, and it's for a minor league team. And I guess there's a lot of baseball history there. There was a statue honoring Johnny Bench, and then just around the corner on the other side of the stadium, there was another statue honoring Mickey Mantle. So a lot of history there in the Midwest with baseball, and loved seeing that in Oklahoma City as well, and just a fun, fun part of town. The Northern Lights, everybody is going crazy about this, the Northern Lights, and I didn't think we were going to be able to see them here in Florida, so I did not stay up in the middle of the night to go out and try and see the Northern Lights. I did actually wake up last night about 3 a.m. I don't know why I do this. I wake up every night about 3 a.m., and I just use it as an opportunity to get up and get a glass of water, use the restroom, maybe get a couple of crackers or something if my blood sugar is feeling kind of low. But I went out on my balcony, opened the door just to see, you know, what was going on. And this guy just looked normal, you know, just black, like normal. I didn't really notice anything different. But then I woke up this morning and some people had posted some just absolutely gorgeous pictures from Flagler Beach of the Northern Lights. And supposedly we're going to get them again tonight. If you're listening to this after this podcast first dropped, I'm recording this on Sunday. So we're supposed to get another shot at this, I think, tonight and maybe tomorrow night. But it's just really interesting, this whole idea of a geomagnetic storm and what the sun is doing and how this could affect our electronics and our communications and all of that. And when you just see the beauty in the sky, you think to yourself, how can someone not believe in God? And just all of the complex and wondrous things that go on all around us. And I want to wish a happy Mother's Day to my own mother today and to all the mothers and grandmothers that are listening. I was thinking about this morning. I was at a coffee shop and I was just sitting there watching all the families coming in, a lot of people coming in with their mothers, getting breakfast. Also, I was right across the parking lot from the Publix grocery store, saw a ton of people coming out with flowers, no doubt for their wives and their mothers and their grandmothers. And I thought to myself, you know, in this world of confusion, where people don't know what gender they are, they don't know who they are, they don't know what they're transitioning to or transitioning from or what they believe or what their politics are, in this world with all this confusion, we can all agree on one thing. That we all came from a mother, right? We all have a mother. And so it is probably one of the most wonderful holidays in the year, in the calendar, to celebrate mothers and grandmothers. So for all the mothers and grandmothers listening to this episode, God bless you. Keep up the great work. And none of us would be here without you. And that's absolutely true. There's no debate about that. So yesterday, I had a great day. I went up to the Riverside Arts Market in Jacksonville, which is something I just absolutely love to do. It is one of the most beautiful markets I've ever been to. And I've been to these markets all around the world. I kid you not. I mean, literally all around the world, all throughout Europe, in Asia, Mexico, the Caribbean, these markets. And this market is fantastic. And what they did was where I-95 and I-10 intersect, they took that giant area underneath the interstate where these two interstates come together, this massive intersection of two major interstate highways. And below it, they created this beautiful park. It's such an ingenious use of space. And on Saturdays, it is the most wonderful market. My favorite thing is probably it's a tie, I have to say, between the dogs and the food trucks. They have the most amazing group of food trucks out there. I mean, the variety of food is just incredible. Everything from Greek to Filipino to if you want to go vegan or if you want to get a vegetarian burger. They've got all kinds of different options. Indian food. It's amazing. Everything for every palate. And they've got so many unique vendors there. Of course, it is a farmer's market, I think, at its core, so there's lots of fresh vegetables, but there are people that are selling fantastic coffee, also, you know, herbs and spices, which if you're somebody that likes to cook like I do, you're always interested in like, wow, what's the latest hot sauce? What's the latest herb or spice that I can get to put in my kitchen? And since I just moved, you know, back to Florida here from Nashville, I had to kind of restock my kitchen. So I did pick up some great spices there. But if you're ever in Jacksonville on a Saturday, it starts at like 10 a.m. and goes until 3. They have live music. They have yoga. They have dogs. They have magicians. They have people making balloons for kids. And then within about a 5-minute walk is this historic area of Jacksonville called Five Points. And Five Points is just a lovely place to go and walk around and watch people. There's so many great restaurants in Five Points, lots of places to eat, and almost all the restaurants are set up where it's like open air seating. You're not actually sitting on the sidewalk per se, but all the restaurants have like a really open design where they open up these windows where it seems like you're sitting outside at almost every one of the restaurants. One of my favorites up there is Hoptinger's, which is a German restaurant. We used to have one of those in St. Augustine. It's no longer there, but that's a great option. There's just so many little places and all kinds of different food. And one of my other favorite things to do there is the vintage shop. There's this beautiful vintage shop, which is right next to the old historic movie theater, which is also really neat to take a look at. But the vintage shop, I was talking to them yesterday. It's a really unique setup. So when you go into the vintage shop, there are 19 different vendors. Now, there's nobody there except for the people at the front desk, but what they did was they sort of created 19 different spaces. And so my understanding is that each vendor rents a space and then they can put their own stuff in there for sale. And talk about a variety of vintage items to look at. Really one of the best vintage stores that you'll go to anywhere. Just, and I'll be honest with you, that people probably know this because I go in there a lot. I don't buy much. I tend to just go in there and look around. I love to look at the old record sleeves. I love to just look at, you know, historical things. I got a real kick out of a collectible McDonald's glass yesterday. I posted this on my Facebook. I remember the McDonald's character Officer Big Mac, and there was an Officer Big Mac glass. That's back in the day when I was younger, and I don't know if anybody is old enough listening to remember this, but when McDonald's really got into all of the characters. It wasn't just Ronald McDonald, but there was the Hamburglar, and there was Grimace, and all these different characters. And then there was this Officer Big Mac, which I remember him as well, but had a lot of fun posting a picture of Officer Big Mac, that glass, on my Facebook page. But what a wonderful day. Just walking around having fun. Now, if you're wondering, gosh, Jim sounds a little bit different today. I am in the process of putting my studio back together here in my condo in Florida. So it's a little bit echoey. So I'm looking into, you know, getting some baffles up here. I'm trying to get rid of that echo a little bit. But I did pick up a brand new microphone. And I'm kind of taking a little bit of a different approach with my audio production. So you might hear some differences. I was able to go out yesterday to Sam Ash Music. Now, Sam Ash has been in business since 1924. And if you're a musician, any kind of musician, whether you play a wind instrument or a guitar or drums or keyboards, whatever, you're going to know who Sam Ash is. For everybody else, Sam Ash, I believe they started in New Jersey, but they've been around for 100 years. One of those stores you can go to as a musician. It's like the size of a grocery store, and it's all music equipment. And they announced this week, after 100 years in business, that they were going to close their doors. So I thought to myself, man, that is so sad. I want to at least go there one last time. And I was, you know, just, I really went more or less just to pay tribute, just to walk around, just to pay tribute, because I didn't want to miss one last shot at going to Sam Ash. But then I thought, well, maybe there are going to be some good deals there. So, you know, maybe I can pick up a little bit of something. So I was able to get a bunch of valve oil for my trumpet. So normally a bottle of valve oil goes for like $8 or $10. And I got valve oil for $2. So I stocked up on my valve oil. I also got this microphone that you're listening to right now. And so one of the things I'm doing to take a little bit of a different direction with the podcast on my audio production, we had to go originally when I signed my contract with Genesis Communications Network, we had to go in the direction of broadcast audio production, which is really a different animal than producing in a studio where you're recording for a podcast or for any kind of recording. So recording is different than broadcasting. A lot of people don't know that. And yes, a lot of equipment does cross over. However, you can get a much better quality if you're doing recording, which is what this podcast now is. It's no longer being done live, although we are going to start doing some live interviews with guests at some point here in the near future. And I'll be using a different platform to be able to do that. And you'll probably hear my phone ringing in the background. I'm just going to ignore that. That's one of the things with having this different kind of a little bit of a studio setup is I don't have like a soundproof booth that I'm in. But in any case, one of the differences between broadcast and recording is that with recording now, if you can go directly into your computer, it's a much better setup for you in terms of post-production, editing, the quality, everything else. Whereas if you're using a broadcast microphone and you're going through an analog mixing board, and then you're going into a computer, you know, after that, that whole process has never been good. We've never, ever in broadcasting that I know of been able to really master that idea of like analog into, you know, digital. And so a lot of times in a big professional studio, you'll, if you understand what's going on, you'll actually see that there's two setups there. You have equipment that is for the live broadcast, and then you have other equipment that is to record. And it's like a duplication of efforts in some ways. But when you're broadcasting live, there's actually just a whole different range of things that you're trying to do than if you're recording. So all that being said, brand new microphone here today on this episode of the broadcast. And this microphone actually plugs directly into my computer, into the USB port. And it actually is mixed, you know, right in with my software. So it's a direct recording right into the computer digital, which is really cool. And the only thing we're struggling with a little bit here on the studio setup is just a little bit of room echo. And in post-production, I'm usually able to get rid of that. But that's just because I'm in a regular room. There's no carpet on the floor here. These are faux wood floors in my condo. And you have this, you know, a little bit of an echo. But we usually can get rid of that in the post-production. So tomorrow, Monday, is the first day that Michael Cohen will be testifying in the Trump trial. Now, if you're not following it closely, and it is bizarre if you actually sit down and understand what's going on. So Trump is being charged with 34 felonies. Get that, 34 felonies in this New York legal case. And this all stems from money that he paid to Stormy Daniels, so-called hush money. And the state of New York, the prosecutor there in New York City, is taking the position that that was a campaign contribution and that it wasn't properly accounted for as such. And there's, like, you know, some tax related issues. Well, because it was a, you know, hush money, maybe it wasn't tax deductible. So there's a lot of, you know, things surrounding this. But you're talking about a guy that's worth, I don't know what Trump's net worth is. I think they said the other day, because of the Truth Social network going public, I think they said Trump is like well over $1 billion. And this payment to Stormy Daniels was, you know, something like maybe $120,000, $130,000. But this is, they've ginned up 34 felony counts against Trump. So this whole last week, we had the testimony of Stormy Daniels, and now we're going into Michael Cohen, who, the thing that has always confused me about Michael Cohen and his involvement in all of this and all of the audios and videos that he produces online. And man, the guy is on TikTok like you would not believe. And I do a little bit of TikTok, but I mean, he will go live on TikTok for hours talking about the case. And the one thing that confuses me is he was Trump's lawyer, right? How is he able to divulge so much private information about Trump, including private conversations? And this was even before he was criminally charged. I don't know, maybe, you know, some lawyers listening, you can email me and explain it to me. But I always thought there was a confidential pact between a client and a lawyer that a lawyer could not just go out and you know, share that private information, which is why you have those scenes in movies where some gangster will, you know, admit to his lawyer that he killed someone. And then the lawyer can't tell anyone because it's considered, you know, confidential and protected, you know, just like if you talk to your priest and had the same conversation with your priest. But I found it interesting, you know, through all of this, you know, over the years, how Michael Cohen has been able to go public and share so much private information about Trump, who was his client and he was the lawyer. And then he himself was prosecuted for lying and other charges, and he went to prison. And now he's coming out and he's going to be, from what they say, the key witness going forward in this case. Michael Cohen to testify, they say, maybe for as long as an entire week, maybe longer than a week. So you've got 1 week of testimony from a porn star, Stormy Daniels, and now we go into the next week of testimony, which is from Michael Cohen. It's interesting. It's one of the most interesting cases from so many different angles. I mean, obviously, you know, former president has never been on trial for felony counts like this before. But then you've got such colorful characters, you know, Stormy Daniels, you've got Michael Cohen, you've got these unusual charges, which, you know, even the experts, you watch CNN, who is so anti-Trump, they bring all their lawyers in and you try to understand like what exactly the crime is here that Trump has committed. And they really struggle trying to articulate what exactly the crime is, because apparently Trump has paid off people before who had embarrassing information on him. And you hear these stories of people, what it is, it's extortion and, you know, blackmailing famous people. They've got, you know, they had sex with them, or they have some embarrassing information on them, or they're just going to make up a story about them. And, you know, depending on how it plays out, sometimes those people go to prison for blackmail and extortion. And I know that happened in a case, if I'm remembering right, with David Letterman. David Letterman, they attempted to extort him, and the person that attempted to extort him actually went to prison. So I don't know how they parse this. Like, where is, you know, how does it become, you know, the crime of the person being blackmailed versus the blackmailer? And that's apparently what they've decided in this case, is that Trump is the criminal, not the blackmailer, not the extorter, which is Stormy Daniels. But you've got such an interesting cast of characters here. People who have made it clear that they are 100% not objective. They hate Trump. They want Trump to go to jail. These are people that are liars, people of poor moral fiber, people who, like in the case of Michael Cohen, has been convicted of lying. He's gone to prison for lying, but yet he is going to be the key star witness this week. But Trump continues to just boom, boom, boom. He goes on. And that's the one thing I'll tell you what, if I ever met Trump, it would be my moment with Trump would be to tell him just how much I admire his persistence and his resilience. I mean, here's a guy, they're coming after him from every direction. I mean, every direction. And he's fighting them all off. I mean, it's like a biblical Samson to watch this guy surviving one attack after the next, after the next, after the next. And now the case, the classified documents case, has been put on hold indefinitely. So that case that was, you know, many thought was the more serious of the cases Trump was facing legally, that case is now looks like it's kind of dissipating. And then we've got this case here that's heating up, but Trump just continues to pound forward. And over the weekend, since he's in the Northeast, this would not normally be his playbook, right? To go and hold a big rally up in the Northeast, because he doesn't, that's not necessarily his area. But what's interesting is he holds a rally in New Jersey, and the news media reported, which of course they're going to report things in the least favorable way to Trump. But then even the news media reported that the number of people there at this New Jersey Trump rally were as far as the eye could see. That's how many people were there. They estimated 80,000 to 100,000 people there to see Trump in New Jersey. This is not Georgia. This is not Florida. This is not Texas. It's New Jersey. And this just goes to show you, you know, Trump's populist movement and how this time around he seems to have really broken the barrier between Republican and Democrat. And he is starting to build significant numbers in the black community. He already had a good amount of support in the Latino community, but that is also building. People that would normally go Democrat, even unions, are leaning towards Trump. They're already predicting that Trump will take several blue states that would normally go blue, including right now, polling is showing in Virginia that Trump is showing very strongly in Virginia. So there is a lot of optimism here about the Trump campaign. And this is just one of those, I guess, just shocking moments to see Trump drawing 100,000 people possibly in New Jersey. And just to show you how all of this is backfiring, you know, Trump's trapped in this trial. The judge said, you've got to be here every day. So he's stuck in New York City. but takes a day on a weekend to go into New Jersey, which is just a car drive away, and draws 80 to 100,000 people to a rally. And so Trump's movement, his populist movement across the nation, is really picking up amazing support in unexpected areas of the country and among unexpected groups. This story, I thought, was fascinating and funny at the same time. San Francisco receives backlash for spearheading a $5 million program that gives free alcohol to the homeless. What could possibly go wrong? And you've got to think a little bit like a liberal to maybe understand this. I mean, let's create a program that gives $5 million in free alcohol away to the homeless. You got to think like a liberal to think, how could this possibly make sense? In what parallel universe does this do any good for anyone? And I can just imagine their twisted thinking that if we give these people alcohol, maybe we'll just kind of keep them sedated. And if we give them the alcohol, they won't be out robbing stores and trying to get the money that way, or they won't be pestering, you know, people on the street asking for money if we just give them the alcohol. And this is how liberals think. You know, let's put them into a five-star hotel. Let's give them free alcohol. Let's give them free drugs, free needles. It's not going to work. And this is the problem, is you can continue to try and meet every dark desire of people that are living on the street, trying to, you know, make them happy by doing these kind of things, raising the limit. What is it? You have to steal now more than $700 in retail merchandise in San Francisco to be prosecuted. So bring your calculator. As long as you keep it under $700, you're going to be fine. Instead of helping these people in a real way, right, which is to bring them in, help them get off of substances, provide them with job training, provide them with the counseling. Many of them are mentally ill. They need psychological help. They need medication. They need to be put on a track to become productive members of society, not giving them everything for free and not creating any type of accountability that goes with all those freebies. And the latest crazy plan is to give them $5 million for free alcohol to the homeless on the streets of New York City. Well, interest rates are going up, but there are still some great strategies to get you a lower rate than what you see in the newspaper. In fact, my typical client can't believe how great of a rate I can find for them. And part of that is having access to hundreds of different lenders, which I do. And part of it is also understanding how the mortgage industry works and the different ways of negotiating to get a lower interest rate. For example, maybe paying a little bit more in closing costs can give you a much lower interest rate. Sometimes, you know, a good 1 or 2% lower than what you're seeing in the newspaper. So that's, if you're somebody, you know, across the country and you're interested in a mortgage, get in touch. If I'm not licensed in your state, I can assign it to one of my partners that is. We're also still getting a lot of people getting in touch about the home equity line of credit. And this is fantastic because you want to keep that first mortgage that you have that has that great low interest rate. But what you want to do is pay off the high interest rate debt by getting a second mortgage, a home equity line of credit. And this one is unique because you can apply and get approved in 5 minutes. You can close in 5 days. There is no appraisal required. And this is a fixed rate second mortgage. So if you'd like to find out more about it, I do have a direct link for you. You can go to quickturnheloc.com. And HELOC is spelled H-E-L-O-C, quickturnheloc.com. And of course, now that I'm back in real estate, I can work with you on your real estate purchase, whether it's for a primary home, for an investment property, anything like that, vacation home, second home, anywhere in the state of Florida. And if you're outside of the state of Florida, I can refer you to one of my partners in another state. And I'm not just going to refer you because I get the referral commission. I'm going to actually dig in and do the research to find somebody that is a top producer, top quality person based on statistics, based on how many sales they have and how many years they've been in the business, all that kind of thing. We're going to do our homework and pick somebody for you in your state or whatever state that you're planning to move to. So whether you need help with real estate or mortgages, get in touch. The easiest way is my direct personal email that goes right to my phone, which is jamesl.paris@gmail.com. jamesl.paris@gmail.com. This was a fascinating article, really fascinating article. You can Google this. I think it was in Business Insider, if I'm remembering right. A Trump voter proved Mike Lindell wrong. You know, the MyPillow guy. He did this big challenge where he supposedly had proof that the Chinese had hacked our voting machines here in the United States. And I never bought into that. I never thought that was how the election may have been rigged. I thought it was more about the mail-in ballots. If there was rigging, that was probably more the rigging, kind of a low-tech approach to rigging it than it was, you know, any high-tech, you know, computer shenanigans. As they say, you know, back in the day, stuffing the ballot box, it appeared to be, if there was rigging, it was all about, you know, the mail-in vote, where it was so loose, you know, just making sure people were qualified to vote and legally, you know, residents or citizens and all of those things, and not voting in more than one area, not voting more than once, not voting if you're dead, all those kind of things. But in any case, this guy's name is Bob Zeidman, Zeidman, and he wants his $5 million reward. He went to this Mike Lindell event, I think it was 3 years ago when it was in South Dakota, where they provided all this computer code, and they basically threw down the gauntlet, and they said if anybody can prove that this is not the Chinese, you know, rigging our election, you will get $5 million. So Bob Zeidman apparently is a genius. The guy, I guess he holds several patents. He's created several inventions. He's some kind of a like master poker player because he's a math genius and he knows all about computers and statistics and programming. And he made his case that this was not the Chinese and this code was not even valid code, was his argument. And so he provided his evidence to Mike Lindell's people and they said, nope, you don't win. So he took Mike Lindell to arbitration and he won in the arbitration. So Mike Lindell now owes this guy $5 million. And what's interesting is Bob Zeidman, who lives outside of Las Vegas, Nevada, I believe, from the article, he's, you know, some kind of a master genius poker player guy. He is a Trump supporter. So it's interesting to see, you know, he's a Trump guy, supports Trump, but went to this Mike Lindell thing. And then he ended up suing Mike Lindell through arbitration for this $5 million prize. And now Mike Lindell owes him $5 million. So I don't know. You know, Mike Lindell apparently was sued and lost and was sued by the voting machine people. And he got a judgment against him for over $1 billion. And some reports were that he was just going to go under and go away and be bankrupt and all that. But he's still on TV. I saw him just the other day on Fox News. He's got some new deal going. I mean, I like Mike Lindell. I'm not a huge fan of the MyPillow. I have bought MyPillows. Some of my family members like them. I didn't because I just love feather pillows. I grew up with feather pillows. I'm not a styrofoam, you know, a foam type of a pillow guy, but, you know, people love his pillows, not me so much, but he seems like a super nice guy, conservative, Christian guy, but it looks like he might have to pay the $5 million. Illinois schools implement a so-called gender support process and plan, which is now being criticized by parents groups. So, Illinois, you know, the blue state, Illinois, where I'm from, Chicago, continues to double and triple and quadruple down on this social engineering inside of the school system. And parents don't want this. Even most liberal parents don't want this. Your kids go to school to learn math, reading, all of that good stuff, science, they're not there to learn about becoming gay or to learn about their gender selections. They don't go to school for that. If that needs to be discussed, that's something to be discussed in the home. Even most liberals now agree with that, but Illinois continues to move forward with this new program in the schools called Gender Support Process and Plan. And that's under major criticism by parents on both sides of the political aisle. Donald Trump says that Nikki Haley is not under consideration for the vice president slot. So this was kind of a weird story. This came out a couple of days ago. The story was that Nikki Haley was now taken off of Trump's blacklist, air quotes. And I thought it was a strange story because, I mean, is there really an actual list? I mean, is there a list where like you actually keep a list? I mean, I know there's like metaphorically this idea that maybe we all have kind of an enemies list or a blacklist, but the idea that Trump had officially removed Nikki Haley from a quote unquote blacklist came out a couple of days ago. And then the story kind of spun into that Nikki Haley was being considered for vice president, which would never go over with Trump's base. And the idea that anybody was even floating that is just completely insane. There is no way that Trump would garner the support that he would get from a true conservative by putting Nikki Haley on the ticket. And I think Trump learned this time around. This is how a John McCain would think or a Mitt Romney. Like, you know what? I'll get somebody that appeals, you know, to a more liberal, you know, part of the Republican Party to help me. And Trump realizes this time around that he's got to go the Ronald Reagan way, which is he's got to double and triple down on his core values. Anybody he brings in as a VP has to have those same values. He can't try and pander. Pandering, I don't think pandering works. Even if you try to pander to the independents and the more moderates, they can see through it. They know what your core positions are. They know what your core values are. And just by bringing somebody in that's a little bit more liberal than you is not going to change anything. So that's just one of, you know, that's just a rumor, I think, that's going nowhere. I don't even think, honestly, that Nikki Haley would qualify to be on Trump's cabinet after all that she's done and how badly she's talked about Trump. I mean, if I were Trump, I would still keep Nikki Haley on my blacklist. I actually would. Okay, so I got a lot of people upset on my Facebook yesterday because I posted that after 20 years, I started drinking Diet Coke again. And I'm not drinking a lot of Diet Coke, but I used to drink, I don't know, 6-8 cans a day. I know the stuff is terrible for you. And how it happened was I ended up going to, what was it, Whataburger. And I got a Whataburger meal. And I asked if I could get a bottle of water. They said, no, we don't offer that. So I thought, well, I'll just get a diet drink. So I think I got a Diet Dr. Pepper. And then a few days later, I was somewhere else getting something to eat. And I was really thirsty and thought, man, you know what? A Diet Coke might just be what I need. And I got a Diet Coke. So I've only had maybe 3 or 4. And it's not like I don't even have it here at my condo. I don't have Diet Coke here at my condo. So it's not something I even have here. I got a lot of people fired up. Aspartame, it causes cancer. You're going to gain weight. You're going to die and go to hell. I mean, people are just so worked up about it. But who knows? Maybe I'll never have another Diet Coke again. But I did indulge. I think I might have had 3, maybe 4 in the last couple of weeks. And then we'll close it out with this as long as we're talking about sodas. McDonald's says it's going to launch a $5 meal to lure back restaurant diners after pricing out low-income customers with their current high prices. And you've seen this, you know, in California, they put in place this $20 minimum wage for fast food. And I was shocked because I hadn't been to McDonald's. You know, I don't go to McDonald's. And I was on this trip from Oklahoma City and I ended up going to a McDonald's. And I'm not kidding you. Like, you could get any burger on the menu and the fries, you know, and water, bottle of water with it, or Diet Coke, God forbid anybody hears that. Everything is like north of 10 bucks now. And then apparently in some of these areas like California, it's even more. They're allowed to charge even more because they have like a higher cost market, or there's some allowance for them to charge even more money. And I honestly remember back in the day, and I'm going to sound like a really old guy, when they had a dollar menu where you could literally pull up and you could maybe get like three things for $3. You can maybe get a small fry, maybe get a couple of cheeseburgers, and your bill was $3. And now everything is north of 10 bucks. So McDonald's is saying, all right, we've heard the people, we're going to come out with a $5 meal. Now, I don't know what it could possibly be, how they could make a $5 meal when everything on the menu is $10 and more. Maybe it's going to be like you get a little hamburger and a little fry and a tiny little, like a little shot glass of soda. I mean, maybe that's the $5 meal, and nobody's going to want that. It's not enough food for an adult. Maybe it's like going to be the size of a Happy Meal. And then they could just, that's just to be able to say they did. We did something for $5, so go away, stop complaining about the high prices. All right, so that's all I've got for you this week. I'd love to hear from you. My best email right now is jamesLParis@gmail.com, jamesLParis@gmail.com. Get in touch, let me know if there's a topic you want me to address or a question you want me to answer. And as always, thanks for joining us. Have a great week. We'll talk to you next time. So long, everybody.